I'm going to share today on the first word that God spoke in the manifestation today. Trust. That was the last week we looked at joy. This week I finally look at trust. Right, a subtitle is also have faith in God. And it was this was when we were looking at a verse last week of scripture while we were reading. I'm going to read it again, but from a different point of view. And that was the one with Sarah, and I got to thinking about that a little bit in Genesis 18. In verse 1 of 18, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. This is talking about Abraham. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. That little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. These three angels that came to Abraham. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that you shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent, into Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal. Knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran on to the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree and did it eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself. She didn't even laugh out loud. She laughed within herself. And we know from last week that, you know, it was the laughter of unbelief. She didn't really believe this was going to happen. After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Again, she laughed within herself, and apparently God knew, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? This is the verse that I was thinking about. In verse 14, God asked a question. He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, I was thinking about that. You know, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You know, do we limit God according to our own understanding of situations?
Yes.
Thank you, Patrick. You know, here, God asked, look, do you think that this is too hard for me? And the only reason a person might think that it's too hard for God is because it's too hard for you. Mm-hmm. Right. It's too hard for me. I'm too old, I can't have it. Or I could never have a child, but, you know, if I was Sarah, I could say, I'm too old, I can't see any way for this to happen. Which is a horrible thing to start contemplating when it comes to believing God. The only thing we should contemplate, really, and you know, Dale, you were mentioning, you didn't even look at the finger, because you're only interested in what does the Word of God say. I don't care about the five senses. I don't care about the details of the situation. I don't care if I can personally deal with the problem myself. I don't care if my best friend can deal with the government, the doctor. All I care about is what does the Word of God say. And that's the point of view that God's question was asked to Sarah. Is anything too hard for me? In Mark chapter 11. You know, it's very simple. We ought to just have faith in God. Mark chapter 11. That's why I call it trust and have faith in God. Mark chapter 11. verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto thee, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And down in verse 19, And when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering, you know, again, obviously Peter said this from a point of view of, wow, that's amazing that happened. And Jesus answered and said, Have faith in God. You know, you can well imagine us looking at a tree saying, How am I possibly going to curse or cause that tree to be withered? You can't. Jesus said, Have faith in God. See, underlying everything that we believe, underlying everything, the manifestations, all of it, is an underlying faith, confidence, and trust in our God. Who does it eventually? Who in the back, in the end of all ends, who is the one who is actually doing this work? God. It's not you. It's not me. It's God. If I have faith in my ability, that's going to last for a very short period of time and result in basically nothing. But if I have confidence and faith in God, well, then the sky's the limit. And then he even says to him, verse 23, For verily I say unto you, look, if you whatsoever, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Doubt in his heart what? That person can do it? No, doubt in his heart what he just said about God. Have faith in God. Don't ever doubt that God can do this. Same thing as Abraham, Sarah saying, God saying to Abraham, Is anything too hard for the Lord? Here he says, doubt in his heart. But what shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass? Why? Because God is behind it. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and shall have them. Why? Who's going to make sure that you get those things that are required in the God? It's God's ability that underlies everything. In Joshua chapter 10. I want to be very careful here about something that we've been taught, and it's absolutely true. But sometimes, and this is again, I will speak for myself, and if it applies, great. Sometimes when we're taught things, we take them to a limit that is not, or to a level that is not biblically true. We've been taught, you do the miracles, you do the healing. Remember that? We've all been taught that. And it is absolutely true. You know, in the verses we know about in Philip in Samaria, and miracles, and seeing the miracles that he, Philip, did. We do the miracles. We do. But whose power is behind it? And so to the point that if I get to the point where I think, I've got to do the miracle, I've got to do this, then I am limited by my ability. But if I understand that to mean that I have the blessing and honor and responsibility to be able to use God's power that he has allowed me, and it's him behind it, guess what? I am just taken out of the equation in a very marvelous way. Because believe me, I don't want to figure out how to move that mountain into the ocean. I don't want to figure out how to cure the specific disease or problem or situation, but I can certainly find a way to trust that God can do this. But for some reason, God needs me and you to be there. I can't explain that to you. All I know is that if he didn't, then he would just heal everybody all the time. he would have had the Messiah come right away. But that's not how the justice of God works. That's not what God's word reveals to us about our Father. For some reason, you and I have to be there. You know, I was talking to my brother about that record in the Old Testament about Abimelech. Remember, God knew everything that was going on, and yet he said, Abraham will pray for you. Why did he have to have Abraham pray for him? Because that's what the word says. That's good enough for me. You do the healing, you do the miracles, yes, but whose power do you have the responsibility and blessing to be able to use? God. Is anything too hard for him? No. Have faith in him. Joshua 10, verse 1. Now it came to pass, verse 1, when Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai, and a great record, in the record of Ai, and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore this Adoni-Gai, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, the other kings, got a bunch of kings together, verse 4, come up with me and help me, and we may smite Gibeon. For it had made peace with Joshua. So, you know, Joshua is on God's side, and got a bunch of kings now going to attack this city, and with the children of Israel. Verse 5, therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, Eglon, gathered themselves together, and went up, and they, all their hosts, encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand, my servants, come and help us, and save us, and help us, for the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, don't be afraid, fear them not, for I have delivered them unto thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, and the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Who's fighting with Joshua here? Who's doing the work? Was it Joshua who caused these hailstones to come from the sky? Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. This is an unbelievable record. They needed a bit more daylight. So the sun and the moon are stopped. Do you think Joshua's power stopped the sun and the moon? But did he have to be there for some reason? Verse 13, and the sun and the moon stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down but a whole day. And there was no day like it, before or after it. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of men, for the Lord fought for Israel. Who made the heavenly bodies come to a stop? God did. Now, if God told Joshua, I want you to stop the heavenly bodies, I think that would have been the end of Joshua's ministry. No, he just trusted God, that God would do this thing. You know, how about Hezekiah's sundial? Remember the sundial? I love that record. Who caused the shadow to go backwards? Was it Hezekiah? No, Have faith in God. Nothing's too hard for our God. Nothing. God didn't say to Sarah, is anything too hard for Abraham? Did he?
No.
But if you remember the record in Romans chapter 4, what does it say about Abraham? He believed that God was able.
Able and willing.
Abraham never doubted that God could do it. He says it. He didn't doubt. He doubted not. He had faith. And it even tells us, right, you know, wonderful, God tells us himself, Abraham never doubted him. Never doubted his ability to do it. So that's why when God talked to Sarah, he goes, anything too hard for the Lord? You can almost hear behind, your husband believes me. He doesn't say that, okay? But the word of God tells us in Romans 4 that he did believe him. You know, in that case. Is anything too hard for the Lord? See, we keep that very clear. Yeah, we're there. But it's almost like we're there to witness God's great glory and blessing. So we can witness the fact that it was God who did it, not us. The glory goes to him. In John chapter 11. John 11. First chapter, again. Jesus Christ just walked this way. We know that. In John 11:40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Not my glory. Glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And you know what? I know you hear me always. Wow. You want to talk about walking in the confidence that his Father was there and would do what was necessary? I know you hear me always. But because the people which I stand by, and I said it, I'm glad he said it for my sake as well, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And we have thus said, spoken, he cried with loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. There you go. Guy raised from the dead. Who was Jesus Christ talking to about this whole thing? Whose power did the Lord Jesus need? God? God's power? God's ability? He said, I know you hear me. Even if he had never said a word, you know that God, he knew that God would do this thing. He could, you know, that's it. Very simple. In John chapter 14, while we're here, 14:10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that doeth in me, he doeth the works. Could it be more explicit? Who's doing them? Who's behind it all? Is anything too hard for him? No. You know, we divorce ourselves from God's power in the sense that, okay, Father, I know you hear me always. I know you can do this. I know nothing's too hard for you. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See, you do the works, but whose greater works than he shall go to my Father? Who's behind the works? Just like in the case of Jesus Christ. It's not like now, because Jesus Christ has gone, God says, well, you guys just do them and I'll just stand here. I'll just watch you do them now. No, that's not it. Just like in the case of Jesus Christ, he did the works. Same for us. Who's doing the works? God. God is behind it all. And nothing is too hard for him. Nothing. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Been reading these verses so over and over again lately, thinking a lot about this. This is a great section, Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Whose power? His power to us for who believe. Joshua believed. His power stopped the sun and the moon. Joshua believed. Here test us for who believe, the exceeding greatness of his power. According to the working of his mighty power, which he now wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God gave Jesus Christ the responsibility in this administration, and look at the power that God has given Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has the authority given to him by God. I look at this, and I've been really blessed to think of that relationship between God and Jesus Christ as the relationship between Pharaoh and Joseph. You know, remember when they came to Joseph, they said, this is when they came to Pharaoh, they said, Pharaoh, we need food and we need help. What did Pharaoh say? It's just go ask Joseph. He'll take care of this. He said to Joseph, only in the throne am I greater than you. Isn't that exactly the situation with Jesus Christ? Until he lays down all authority and power and dominion to God, then everything is under God, all in all. It's exactly the same. So when you see about Jesus Christ doing it, who's behind, whose power, resources, and authority were behind Joseph? Pharaoh. Right? Pharaoh was behind that. I mean, I'm talking about the food and authority. Obviously, the great power was God. But the same way that was Pharaoh, the same way behind everything Jesus Christ did, does, is doing, who's behind it all? His power to us for who believe in this administration, Jesus is our Lord, and he's got the responsibility and authority to use that power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, a few more verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I think we've read this scripture a few times in fellowship. I just love it. And again, so even in this administration, this is an administration that we're living right now where Jesus is Lord. What does it say about trust? 2 Corinthians 1:9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. But in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Have faith, have trust, have confidence in God. So, you know, in this case with Paul, yeah, everything in the past, we know God trusted. We trusted and he dealt. And now he's delivering us. And, oh, by the way, whatever comes in the future, this is what, everything, whatever comes in the future, he writes, I will trust that God will deliver us. So whose power and authority is behind it all? God. Have faith in him. His ability to deliver. In 2 Corinthians 3, while we're here, 2 Corinthians 3:3, for as much as you have manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. You see how it eventually, yes, Jesus Christ, Christ is our Lord, and he has very clear responsibilities here. But look at the trust we have through Christ to God. Behind it is God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You know, it takes a lot of pressure off of us. You know, there's so many examples you can think of. You know, when I think of tithing, there's two very clear responsibilities when I think of in tithing. One is what I call the responsibility of math, which is where God says 10%. And thankfully, the responsibility of doing the math falls on me because I can handle multiplying something by 10%. The other responsibility I see in tithing is rebuking the devourer for your sakes, making sure that you're blessed. Nothing, you know, everything you touch is blessed, and God protects you and multiplies the seed, so on, does all that things. I'm really thankful that that responsibility doesn't fall to me. The one for the math falls to me. I can handle math. You know, the 10% thing, I got a calculator. I can take and multiply. I can't rebuke the devourer for my sake. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to stop the sun and the moon. I don't know how to make a woman that's beyond bearing bear a child. But thankfully, we all know He who does. It's His power. Nothing is too hard for Him. We'll close in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. And isn't it wonderful that He's our Father? My goodness. You know, what a privileged people we are. Isaiah 40. Verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? And meted out heaven with the span, you know, being able to measure the heavens with a ruler, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in a scales, and the hills in a balance. You know, I just read this, and I just sit back and go, oh, you know, that's our God. Could anything ever be too hard for a God that measures the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? What a great mind picture to keep in your mind when you're when you have a need, when you have a hangnail, that's hurting too much. Everything compared to this is a hangnail. Broken arm, need for finances, need for being pulled out of depression, whatever it is. Here's a God that weighs the mountains and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? I don't want to be ever accused of that. Verse 13. Verse 14. With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? You know the answer to that is? No one. Nobody. It's a rhetorical question. You don't have to even answer that one. Verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Drop of a bucket. Nations. Nations who have nuclear weapons and millions of people who run armies and GDPs in the trillions of dollars before Him are nothing. Drop of a bucket are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Tiny, just noise. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. You know, the famous cedars of Lebanon, the well-known, where they made the ark, all David's houses and Solomon's temple and all that from the cedars of Lebanon, the very famous cedars that were used. Not enough in Lebanon to burn before God, all the animals thereof, not enough. All nations before Him are as nothing. Man, and He's your Father. You're the Son of God. Before Him, every single nation are nothing. They're counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. Emptiness. Is anything too hard for Him? In verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, the great circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. You know, I say this to God a lot. That particular verse, I talk to God a lot. You know, I know before You, I'm just a grasshopper. I'm perfectly happy with that, because I'm glad it's Him who sees nations as a drop of a bucket. Because with a God with that much ability and power and strength, nothing could be too hard for You, for Him. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. Curtain. Let me just brush aside Alpha Centauri here so I can see through to the other billion galaxies that are beyond there on the other side of my curtain? Is anything too hard for him? And spreadeth out them out of the tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. There is nobody on the face of this earth that can stand before our God. They are nothing compared to him. Don't let any man ever tell you otherwise. Nothing before our God. Nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth. These people who think they can judge you and judge Christians and judge the earth and judge all the things that are on there, he makes them into vanity. Emptiness. Their judgments are worth nothing when it comes to our God. Nothing. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. There's a good mind picture. The greatest judges of the earth, just blown away by a, like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou with Jacob, and speakest of Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? You guys are saying, God can't see what's happening to us? Don't say that, he says. And my judgment is passed over from my God. God doesn't see. He has forgotten us. He doesn't know what's going on. God says, don't you dare say that. Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? He doesn't see faint. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And he giveth power. This God that did all this would give power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And how much, how much glamour, glory, medals, money, power, whatever you name it, is bestowed upon the young men of this world who have great athletic ability, who have money, who have power. The Word of God says, they're going to fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why not have faith in a God like that? Why ever think anything could ever be too hard for a God like that? Why not ever be thankful that a God like that would allow us to be his sons and daughters? Wow. Have faith in God. Trust in him. That's it.